to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
Beware of the little expenses. A small leak will sink a great ship.
And Dale Hummel.
Do not be afraid to give up the good to go for the great.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Ryan Rash without Dale Hummel, because Dale is on a 2-week trying to get himself killed African safari nonsense. So what that means is, fortunately for the listeners, this will be the shortest current event section probably in the history of the podcast. I will say that we did go ahead and pre-record the topics for the 2 weeks that Dale's will be gone, so you will have to listen to him later in our regular scheduled programming, but it's just me for current events, which shockingly, even though Dale has fled the country, there is some very interesting things going on in America. First and foremost, Biden has cancer. He has a very rare, aggressive form of prostate cancer, and I want to be the first one to say that I do not wish cancer on anyone, and I hope he has a full recovery. That being said, I have watched every mainstream media network. I have done my own research. I have listened to all these experts. There is no way that this man, our former president, who was in office basically 100 days ago, now has grade 9 metastasized prostate cancer in the bone, just like that. He's had it. They covered it up, or they didn't test for it because they knew they had it. But folks, let's just get real. This just did not happen. And so again, it just shows you the depths of corruption of the previous administration. It's just insane to me, the more and more stuff that comes out. But we do wish President Biden a very speedy recovery and all the things. But yeah, that's just beyond bizarre that they came out with this. Also, President Trump has been on Capitol Hill this week pushing his one big, beautiful bill that is coming down for vote. And there's a lot of stuff in this, and they're still doing some wrangling and some, you know, negotiations with some of those Republicans that are holdouts. But the biggest thing about the one big beautiful bill is that it will give the largest tax cuts in American history. And so I think everybody would be very, very happy for that part of it. And I mean, you know, we know that none of the Democrats are going to vote for it whatsoever at all, but hopefully that with Trump going up on the Hill and all these other people and Speaker Johnson, that they can get this pushed through and vote, because this is one of the main things that Trump ran on, and he likes to fulfill his campaign promises. And so hopefully that will be happen, because Speaker Johnson did say that he thinks with this last round of negotiations that he has reached an agreement with the Republicans that might have been a holdout. And also yesterday, 20 Republican governors endorsed this bill, urged all the lawmakers from their states to pass it. So hopefully that is helping too. Other news, he just got back from Kadar, and that was really great. Everybody's still talking about how wonderful President Trump did over there. Well, 3 new polls came out on Monday, and it showed him at 48, 49, and 50% approval ratings. So that has gone up. So we like those things. Other than that, like I said, this is going to be a very, very short current events, because I'm just going to hit the highlights and not like bore y'all to death with things like China that I can't control. But anyhow, you'll have to wait a couple of weeks for Dale to spend 15 to 20 minutes on here ranting and raving about stuff that is not a big line ticket item. So with that being said, I forgot to say hello, hello, hello at the beginning because Dale always has to like introduce me, but hello, hello, hello. And now on to our topic and regularly scheduled programming.
Once again, a big thank you to ShowFresh H2O. This is the only product out there that completely eliminates chlorine from drinking water, keeping your animals hydrated and ready to hit the show ring. If you want to feel better about your purchase, this product is made right here in America by good people. You can pre-order ShowFresh H2O now at your local farm store, your favorite show supply trailer, or head over to SwampFox.com. It is time for the main topic. Ryan came up with this one. It's absolutely brilliant. The cost of a judge. Ryan, please walk us into it.
Well, I think that, you know, I get almost every show that calls me, messages me, whatever. They're like, what is it going to cost to get you to judge our show? And so I talked to several people, including Dale, about this, not just here recently, but also over the years. And nobody judges shows to truly make money. Because I find it funny that kids like come up to me and they're like, we want to be a judge like you when we grow up for a living. I'm like, this is not what I do for a living. And this, you will not make any money for this. So that's a terrible idea. But they don't do it to make money. But also, I think that shows don't realize the expenses that go into this. And also, any show, even if it's a one-day show, unless you're within driving time, which some people like to drive 10 hours and some people only like to drive 3, but even that, it's really a 3-day process. The day to drive there, the day to fly there, the actual show, and then either driving back the next day or flying back the next day. So most of them, unless it's very short distance, it's a 3-day process. So you are asking that person to be away from their business, their, you know, ranch, all this other stuff for 3 days. And I don't think many people grasp that part of it. And then there are all these other hidden things that no judge ever charges for that judges just eat in terms of expenses. And so my point of this topic is when you're pricing a judge or wanting to get a judge for your show, I think a lot of times that shows are like, well, that person will be too expensive. We can't get them. So we're going to get somebody closer and cheaper. I think that's the worst thing that you can do, because I do think one of the three biggest factors on whether people will come to your show or not is the judge.
Absolutely.
And if they want to show to that person. So I think that when shows are putting their budgets together or deciding how they're going to do this, that the judge probably should be the most important thing they have, at least in their budget.
As far as priority.
Right, as priority.
And Ryan, you and I have promoted this on here for years now, that exhibitors, we get complaints about this judge or that judge, or sometimes we get a call that we really liked such and such, and it goes both ways. I've encouraged, and so has Ryan, exhibitors, you have a say in this. If it's a jackpot show or the national shows, if it's not your county fair or state fair, where obviously if you're going to show at your county, that's where you're going to go. But you can help with this, I guess, what you would call, what some listeners would call judge selection or who they hire as judges. If you don't feel comfortable showing to that judge, go to a different show that weekend. Go somewhere else. You have a vote by whether you show up or not. And I think we're seeing that at national shows to a certain extent. I think we're seeing it at jackpots. Obviously, we can't do that at your own county fair or state fair. You're pretty well committed to that. But I think that's part of it. And I can assure you, Ryan, just speaking from the last 24 hours in our home here, I sat down with Holly and Katie, and we looked through the book on shows within driving distance. And the first thing, it wasn't even as much about how far away it was, but guess what it was about, Ryan, whether we're going or not.
The judge.
Yeah. And that's it. I'm not asking what the quality of the fairgrounds is. I'm not asking what it pays out, any of those things. I'm asking if it's a judge and if I think we have a fair shot under that judge, period.
I really think that the two biggest criteria on whether somebody is going to go to a show is, number one, it's the day. If they are available that weekend, if that family is available that day or that weekend to go to the show. And number two, it's the judge. Third would probably be what they're giving away or whatever. But those are the two big ones. And like Dale was saying, he was talking with his family. I can tell you when I was brokering animals and now with Addie showing or whatever, there is no distance that we would not go to if we really wanted to show to that person. If that was somebody, you know what, we want to show to this person, we want to get our animals in front of them, there was no distance that would prevent us from doing it. In Texas, we are very, very lucky that we have multiple jackpot shows every single weekend. And I assure you that there has been more weekends than not that we have driven farther to go to a show because of a judge that we thought was a better fit for our animal, or we had a better shot, or just somebody was judging closer that we didn't want to show to. And so it is important. I promise you it is. Oh, and so
absolutely is. That is where it is. And maybe that ties into as much as some of the things we're going to talk about relative to the cost of the judge, and it all ties together. Because if you sit down and think of the true cost of getting that judge there, it's more than what most expect, I guess. And I think we'll get to that throughout the episode today. And Ryan, just to be real, I can assure you that when I have a show call me, there are very few open dates that I have to go judge. And I'll talk about that here in a minute. But when they call me and say, hey, we're going to pay X amount, and it's a number that I know is going to cover my expenses plus a little bit versus one that, wow, it might get the expenses covered. Human nature, I'm not judging shows for a living. You're not judging shows for a living. But at this point, it's pretty hard to justify taking that time away from your family or at home or your business and maybe breaking even to do it.
No, I don't think that most people understand that concept, because I think they forget that you're leaving your family and your business for, like I said, most times 3 days. And there is a cost in that. I mean, you can't put a dollar amount on it. I do know some people that do. They've told me, well, it costs me this much to leave every single day. I don't know how they come up with that, but more power to them. I get it. They don't understand that portion of it, that part of it. And so it's far more than just the basic expenses and stuff like that. And that is the thing that I want this topic to come through. I think sometimes judges get a bad rap when they say no because of whatever. I mean, a lot of times when they say no, it's just because they can't get there. A lot of times it is because it simply will not dollar and cent out.
And that's when the show officials sometimes are not happy that you can't do it for that amount. That's when I get the most pushback that, well, I can't believe you won't do this for the kids. I promise you that Ryan or I and most of the people out there judging, we're going to do what we can for the kids, but we can't give away that much of our time and that much of our covering that much of our cost just to do so.
And people forget that the most valuable commodity in the world is time. And that is what, when you're taking off 3 days to judge a show, that never figures into it. And so that's kind of wanted to bring up this topic. But I think there's a lot of things that, you know, not only people asking people to judge shows, but I don't think exhibitors think about this either. And so, you know, to those people out there listening, when you hear this and you listen to this, I hope it will change your perspective a little bit, because I'm not going to say that, you know, a judge is going to make every single person happy at a show.
No, but it's going to be the opposite. Usually you're going to have more unhappy than happy in general, because everybody has high expectations and just not everybody can win.
Right. Simple. But after listening to this, I hope on the exhibitor or the show family perspective, you realize more that these people really are doing it for your kids and to give all those exhibitors an opportunity. And maybe we won't be as vengeful, upset, whatever, when you realize all the things that go into taking off to judge a show. So there you go.
Absolutely. And I want to come in, Ryan, just with that part. And the biggest factor for me, and you've already alluded to it, my biggest concern at this point in my life, and everybody's going to be different, is balance of time. And when I look at the days that I'm available or I don't have something committed, they're fewer than not, it seems like, each year. And when I commit to judge a show on those days, then that's taking time away that I could have spent with family. And our youngest daughter, Katie, is off to college this fall. So I assume that's going to open up and Holly and I can travel together to some of the shows and so forth. So it won't be as much.
Poor Holly.
Yes. But taking time away from the kids or from your family, especially with kids, that's where I look back and think, gosh darn, I could have spent this time doing this or that. And a lot of times, if possible, I'll take one of my kids or a couple of them to the shows with me and do that, especially if it's an intriguing place to go. I can tell you I've gotten better about this. I blocked off a time here in late May and June. Actually, when this episode's dropping, I'll be with my son Chase somewhere in Namibia or the Okavango Delta on Chase and Dad Adventure, self-guided tour of Namibia and in Botswana that we just go. And I'm gone for 10 days. And obviously that's time away from business, time away from judging shows, time away from even the rest of our family. But I can assure you, this is something we did last year. And that time that I spend with my son is invaluable. And if I were to say, okay, I'm going to take two or three shows instead of taking this trip, I would regret doing those things. So balancing that time, I think when I was younger, I would oftentimes put the teaching and coaching and so forth as a very high priority, even accepting shows whenever asked. And in hindsight, I would rather balance the time a little bit better, still continue to take shows. And as Ryan put it, if the time's available, I enjoy it. And I obviously Ryan does, or we wouldn't do as many as he does. Don't take this as though we don't want to go and judge shows. That's wonderful. We want to continue to do that. We want to get out there and work with the youth, all of those things. But I guess my perspective of this episode is for show families, and I think a lot of them get it, but understand that judge is giving a good part of their time, possibly away from family, as well as possible expenses or the business opportunities or the problems that are going to go wrong while they're gone. Not to mention that some shows, it's costing us money to go do those shows because the budget's not there. And I'm not saying we need to charge a fortune to go judge a show, because I realize that some shows don't have that much of a budget. I get it. But I think the shows also need to come back and understand that sometimes we have to say no, in part because it's just going to cost more to go do that than what they can afford to offer. And I don't know how to put that more nicely. I know when shows called me and said, no, I'm going to be on vacation with my son, they're always perfectly fine with that. And I appreciate that. But if I were to say, I just don't know if I can do it for that amount of money, then sometimes I'll get some pushback that I can't believe you won't take the time to come do this for that much money. That's a lot of money for your 5 hours of judging. It's all the other things that come into it sometimes that forget.
But it's never 5 hours of judging.
Never. Never.
It's just not. And that's what I wanted to bring up at the fore. I mean, because I've heard that before. We couldn't get so-and-so and we can't believe that they couldn't come over here for, it's not 5 hours of judging. It isn't. I hope this podcast changes some of that mindset. Like I said at the very start, most shows, even if it's a one-day show, it's still a two-and-a-half-day process. And so I will tell you, like, I judge a lot of shows, probably as many as any. I think most shows are perfectly fine covering your expenses or your expenses to a point. And, you know, some shows say, you know, we'll cover your expenses up to X number of dollars, or you give us the receipts when you get here and we will cover those. But what they're talking about really is your flight, your rental car, and most shows either want to book the hotel room for you because they have, you know, a rate at a hotel that they're using as the host hotel or something like that. But most times shows do not have a big problem reimbursing your flight, your rental car, and your hotel expense. Or if you're driving, most of them will give, you know, the mileage to and fro. I've never had really any big problems getting those things reimbursed. But as we're going to tell you and explain to you, that doesn't even really start to cover the expenses of it all. But those are the things that shows do reimburse normally, I would say.
Absolutely. And they're willing to reimburse expenses. But guess what? And Ryan, I'm sure you're going to get to this, but I'll lead us into it. When I commit to a show, let's say I'm flying to that show. So I've got my expense or whatever it is. I'm an hour and a half at best, almost 2 hours from the airport. No big deal. Take our personal vehicle, park it there. But guess what? Parking at O'Hare is about $42 a day. That Ryan, have you ever charged parking?
Never.
And I don't think that that's, I'm not saying the shows wouldn't cover that, but it just isn't something that we normally put in. I'm sure some judges do. And speaking about this, I'm going to actually include that into expenses in the future or calculate that in when asked. And I don't think shows would be offended by it, but just, it's just not normal that you put that in there. When you get to the airport, what about baggage? Are you throwing that on there or is that extra?
I've never charged a show for baggage fees.
Nope, I haven't either. And I usually will try to get away with carry-on, but that's not always going to work. It just is. Clear and TSA, I think you've got clear. I don't remember what that cost a year. You probably have it anyway. I think I would as well, but there's definitely fees associated with that just to get through the airport somewhat efficient. Most shows, Ryan, will reimburse you for a rental car.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you charged them for the fuel you put in the rental car?
Never.
How about the toll passes or your toll bill that you get when you get home from that trip?
Never. And also on the fuel, you know, if people that don't rent cars often, so they'll either have you say, are you going to bring it back full or do you want to pay for the gas? Well, it's always a catch-22 with shows because if you pay for the gas, you're paying for a full tank, which you may not use. But if you don't, it is a ridiculous amount of money that they charge you per gallon.
And I pay it often.
Right. Because you're not going to, and that never figures in. And I promise you, you would, if you've ever rented a car and then got your bill back and saw where, you know, it was half a tank and the amount that they charge you for half a tank of gas, you would flip out. I mean, it the first time it happens. And so, like I said, those little things never get figured in.
Now, that's partially on you or I, because in theory, we should bring it back full. But more times than not, I'm cutting that close from the show to the flight or right, running behind for whatever reason. And normally, I will stop and fill it up so I don't get that charge.
But either way,
sometimes I don't.
Either way, that's never factored in.
No, never whatsoever. And that's just part of it. I can't say that I normally ever charge for meals. Sometimes they'll give me a flat rate that obviously includes everything, but I can't ever remember saying, okay, I'm going to need X amount for my airfare, X amount for meals, things like that. Usually the basis, and maybe I'm different. What I ask for is my airfare covered, the rental car covered, and hotel.
Yeah.
And those three things I add up real quick and it's done. It's all the other expenses that all of a sudden eat up everything else.
Right. And, you know, meals and stuff. I mean, somebody asked me this. They're like, do you charge for meals? I said, no. I said, I don't. I said, because I said, you're going to have to eat regardless. And then when I was talking to this person, they're like, yeah, but do you know how much more expensive it is to eat when you're traveling than it is to eat at home? I said, yes, I get that. And I understand that. And that's part of it. I said, but I still have just, I said, and I don't know many people that do that. That's just something that we take on as an expense to go and do this, because number one, we like it, and number two, we want to be there. We want to enjoy the show. We're honored that we get asked to judge. So that's just something you take on. But if you put dollars and cents to it, then it's still a considerable expense compared to if you were at your house.
Absolutely. Well, Ryan, look at it this way. Maybe we can give a real simple or basic example. If I'm doing a one-day show, let's say I'm flying to that show, I'm, as you mentioned, I'm going to be gone pretty much 3 days or at least a half a day on each end, depending on the flight schedule. So if you've got 3 days at the airport, let's say you end up putting $40 of fuel in the rental car. You've got approximately, at least if it's at O'Hare, I've got $120 just in parking, throw $10 of tolls in there. You're, not to mention your cost to get from your home to the airport, you're somewhere on a one-day show, you've got about $250 of hidden expenses that you or I wouldn't normally charge.
That's before meals.
That's before meals.
Yeah. That's just to get to the airport and to get to the hotel.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about right there.
And those aren't even included in that
hotel. No, and it's not included. Yeah. That's to get to the airport to the hotel. You've got $250 right there.
Yep. And I do respect, sometimes I'll get a call and say, this show says, they say they have a $1,500 budget and that's all in. Can you make it work for that? We go look at flights and see where hotels are at and so forth. And I respect that. If that's what they have to spend, then the judge can decide, is it feasible to do it for that amount of money? I almost at times prefer that rather than giving an estimate or saying, okay, you're going to cover my expenses and then going through and calculating what that is. Because every time I go to calculate an expense after a show, I'm going to be pretty generous and charge them less or not put everything in there.
Right. I have done this so much now that when somebody is like, you let me know how many days the show is, where it's at, all this, and I'm going to give you a quote. And this is what I can do it for. Because I book all my own stuff, whatever. If that works for you, great. I'll put you on the show calendar. If not, I completely understand. And I understand, you know, the shows that say, you know, here's $1,500. Can you do it for this? Whatever. And I think that's a good way too, because the show knows their budget, etc. The problem is what if you can't make that work? Then they get angry. And they never really listen to why you can't make it work. But I get that and I understand that. And, you know, that's the way it is, you know, talking about, you know, expenses and stuff like that and things that you didn't even put in when you were talking about that $250, like we said, the baggage fees and stuff like that. My whole point of this is if you really added up every single thing that you spent money on when you went to judge a show, that I would say 90% of judges do not charge for, I think you would be surprised at how much it actually adds up to on just a one-day show. When you're gone 3 days, 2.5 days, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to tell you it's probably a lot closer to $1,000 than what you think.
And maybe that's what we're trying to get, the point we're trying to get across to show officials and show families. And some of you are very aware of this, absolutely aware that of what it costs. But there's hidden expenses there that generally just get overlooked and absorbed by that person judging the show. Ryan, I get in a situation where the show will call and say, hey, we're going to cover your airfare and your hotels plus X amount. And not a problem. And we go to book that flight and it's pretty darn expensive. I'll usually reach out and say, hey, the flight price is this much. But a lot of times you get in a position where they say, okay, your expenses, your air and your hotel, and it ends up being more because flight price variation from depending on what day you're flying and where you're coming from.
I don't think people realize how much flights are in general. No, and B, number two, how much they change from day to day.
Yeah.
Like I can give you an example. I've got two shows at next month, and I was looking at flight cost, I guess, Monday, And I was like, okay, that'll be, I can make that, you know, whatever. I looked last night and one of them was $150 cheaper and another flight was $300 more. Like, I don't know why they fluctuate so much, but they do.
I get in a situation, Ryan, where I will get on the computer if I'm in the office when they call about a show and asking expenses, pull it up while they're on the phone, get a price, and we agree to do it. I come back to book that flight that night, and it's gone up $100, $150, whatever it may be. And I hear conspiracy theories about this. So if I'm on a Travelocity or Booking.com or whatever it may be, and I go continue to look at that flight and don't book it, it seems like in a matter of minutes, the damn thing goes up. So I am not saying that they've got a program to do that, to panic you into buying that ticket, but it sure seems that way. And every time I look, there's only two seats left. Obviously, right. they're lying a little bit on that more times than not. But on Ethiopian Air, Ryan, that we would have already, by the time this drops, taken to Ethiopia for a short layover and then into Namibia, they give you a free blanket and toothpaste. And I told you last year, I brought that back for you. I'm going to save all of those trinkets for you.
Thank you. I'm so Ethiopian excited Air blanket. About it.
I bet it's monogrammed.
Well, I bet it is. Talking about, you know, meals and stuff, a lot of shows will, you know, say, hey, they'll feed you while you're there. And, you know, that's great. Or they'll offer to take you to dinner, all that stuff. That's fine too.
All appreciated.
Right. All appreciated. You're just not going to eat every single meal with. They're not going to pay for every single meal. And like I said, we understand that, all that stuff. We go into it. How about when you get to the hotel, you've done this. Do you ever figure in to your hotel expense that you're quoting them or whatever, that most hotels now charge you for parking?
Ryan, that's only the 5-star downtown hotels.
No, sir.
No, you're
I'm
right.
I'm not talking about valet.
No, I get it. And yes, you're right. Oftentimes they do hit you somewhere.
I would say
20
more times than
bucks.
Not, hotels charge you for parking. Yep. I don't care.
I forgot all about that one, to be honest with you.
More times than not, they charge you. They literally ask, do you have a car? And they're like, I don't know if they ever go check and say, gee, if you're lying, but they're like, you know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, I've got a car. And they're like, well, then give us a license plate number and da 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 and all this. And parking's $25 a night. I mean,
yes,
that happens at more hotels than not. Dale can make fun of my hotel habits or whatever. And I understand. But I'm telling you, this happens at Holiday Inns and all kinds of stuff, people. He's just lying.
It does. So, you know where I get in trouble also, depending on what state you're in, I will look at that price of the hotel real quick online. But once you get there, you have your resort fee or your city taxes and all the other. And if you don't wait to the end to submit that and you're trying to predict it ahead of time, more times than not, you're not seeing that. Right. It depends which app you're using. Sometimes I'm sure they include it, but I get dinged on that quite a bit.
Yeah. And like I said, and all of this stuff is just things that judges understand, go into it, knowing whatever, but it still adds up to be a considerable amount of money. And people overlook that and forget that and don't understand that. And so I just thought that we needed to bring that up, because the whole thing of it is, I can assure you, I have talked to more judges about this than probably anybody I know. They ask you a lot of time, well, what is your judge's fee? And nobody wants to give an answer for that, because it's just uncomfortable. It's all these things, because nobody wants you to think, someone say, oh, well, Ryan Rash said that his judge's fee is XYZ. Well, Dale's is only this, or so-and-so's is only that. Nobody wants you to think that you're pricing too high, all this other stuff. But it's just the hardest question to answer in the world. And when, you know, here in a little bit, we're going to have a survey where we surveyed all these judges. And I'm telling you, on most of the responses that I've got, that question was asked, what is the fee that you charge for a one-day show? And they've all said, I mean, they've given me a number, but they've all said, this is the question I hate the most when shows ask me. And so, like I said, it's hard to figure out because, like Dale says, you go into that knowing the mindset is, well, you're only actually working for 5 hours.
Or, you know, just look at the amount they're giving you for that amount of time. It looks like a great deal.
Right. And so, but I will be the one that says it or whatever. It has taken me a long time to get here, but I'm going to charge $500 as a judging fee. And I think that is still pretty low, but
above your expense.
About right. Yeah. Above the expenses. And I'm telling you, I still don't break even on any show basically, but I don't think that is too much. But
so Ryan, when you and I charge that $500 per day, and I'm pretty similar to that, we're basically eating that up in all the unknown expenses or unrecognized expenses.
Okay. I'm just saying is, we figured it out real quick on here that it's $250 to get from your home to the hotel. Okay? So half of that is gone in just that. That's not eating anything. That's, I mean, nothing. So that's what I'm telling you. When shows only, I mean, because a lot of shows will call and say, well, we will reimburse your expenses and give you $300 a day. That's not going to work.
not in general. I mean, and Ryan brought this up. If there's a show 2 hours away and they're going to pay you $500 total to do it and it's going to take you a few hours, that's fine. It works. We're not getting dinged with airport fees. We're not car rental. We're not tolls. We're not any of those things. But when you've got to travel, even if you're driving a long distance, and I don't even know what the mileage reimbursement is right now, that's where the problems become. And Ryan, out of curiosity,
normally it's 0.67 cents per mile.
And I'm going to say that judges on the lower end are going to say they'll do it just to cover their expenses. And that's hopefully they put all their expenses in. On the high end, what do you think it costs to get some judges?
Oh, I know people that are $1,500 a day.
Yep. And judging shows.
Yep.
And I know shows that offer very good numbers to get you there just right off the top. Say, hey, I'm going to give you $3,000 to come in and judge 2 days at our county fair or whatever it may be, just to make sure they get the judges they want to have in there.
I have never, truly never understood this. County fairs either pay like slot machines or they pay nothing. I don't understand how it is.
It is interesting. That's where there's more variation in that than not.
But, I mean, literally, it is either they pay so well, it's insane. And you, I mean, if I didn't judge as many shows as I did, and one of these county fairs that pays extremely well, you know, offered me that, I'd be like, oh, you don't have to pay me that much. Now, I don't have any problem with it because it all averages out, and it still averages out the wrong way. But, like, or they're like, we want you there for a week for $1,200. Yeah, no, doesn't work.
No, and it's shockingly, some of the smaller shows, or I say county fairs, even, and the jackpots are all over the board what they're going to pay. I found what pays that doesn't pay well would be your higher level shows, your state fair, national level type shows. Those are the ones that usually don't pay as well. And guess what? Because you want to go evaluate that quality of livestock, are you going to tell them no, Ryan?
Never. No.
Never. You're not saying you're going to pay them to do it, but you may break even or lose a little bit.
No, I mean, I will tell you that a lot of, you know, the state fairs and stuff like that, it's, I don't think anybody's breaking even.
No, I can tell you that our Illinois state fair, it's terrible what those judges are getting paid. It's, They're not making money, and some are losing money just to come do it. And I don't know that that's right, especially at the state fair level. Think about the budget those state fairs have for everything that's involved. It's crap that they shortchange that side of it.
No, yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I also agree with you that no, if you get called to judge at a state fair level, I think the last thing that you're worried about is probably how much money am I going to lose? And so, yeah. So you just do it and
you say yes, and then you figure out how much you're going to lose after.
Right. And then you figure out how much you're going to lose after. Right. Yeah. And so, but because I know a lot of jackpot shows, all shows think, well, for this person to come in and judge this one day show, $500 is a lot of money, or it's too much money, or whatever, all this other stuff. I don't think in the grand scheme of things, it probably is, but like I said, that's what I charge a day to judge a show. But I know people that charge more, probably charge less, but after doing this as much as I have, just like I said, I don't think even on a one day show, if I'm flying there and flying back, that $500 is probably going to be eaten up in hidden expenses long before I'm back home.
Absolutely. I just thought of another hidden expense that you and I didn't talk about. And I guarantee you have this one. I pay more than you because it's harder to find a dry cleaner up here that'll do it. If I have my jeans and shirt starched each day, it's going to cost me $20 a day, $10 for the shirt, $10 for the jeans. I know that's high on dry cleaning, but that's what it is here.
It's high down here too. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, just things like that we don't think about.
Right.
We don't talk about your makeup expense.
No, I don't think that. You're gonna absorb most people have to worry about that. Yeah, no.
I bet it's high.
I'm sure it is. I have never put a pencil to
Maybe if you go with less eyeshadow or less lashes or... What about getting your fingernails done before the show? Should you start charging that?
Yeah. You're so funny.
I never thought about those. You're being very kind throwing that in.
Right.
You don't really do your nails before you go.
No, I do not. You're correct. But
it'll last a few days.
Yeah. So, but like I said, I hope that like when we're talking about this and making this aware, I just want shows and families to realize that by and large, these judges are doing this and if they break even, they're happy. Most times I don't think they break even because they don't figure in all this other stuff. And so when you're thinking, when you show managers and stuff like this are thinking about who you're going to get to judge and all this other stuff, just from kind of remember this. And because I know that I feel terrible when I tell a show no for whatever reason, and you feel bad enough telling them no, even when I'm booked at another show or I just can't get there or something, I feel bad enough saying no. You feel really bad when you just can't make it work financially because it's just not going to be worth you leaving. And we said this at the beginning, all these little hidden expenses you can put dollar amounts on. You can't put a figure on leaving your business, leaving your ranch, leaving your animals, leaving your family, all this other stuff. And then when the show tries, like, I can't believe you won't do this for that, you really do feel awful, but you still got to do what you got to do.
Yep. And I promise you, I can eat those hidden expenses. That doesn't.
Exactly. We all can and we all do.
And it's the time.
Right. We all can and we all do eat those hidden expenses because if we weren't, then we would be like, okay, I need to add this much for parking, this much, all this stuff. We don't do that because we can eat it and we're not there to make money. But the whole factor of being gone, you can't put a price on that. And you also, they don't even think about that.
No, it's good that you threw this out there. And I thought, well, how have we done 260 episodes and not talked about this? I'm completely with you there. And I guess as we kind of sum up our main topic here, it just comes down to, and Ryan had just mentioned, we can eat those hidden expenses and we do. And I don't want our listeners and show families and show managers to to be thinking, hey, we need to make money in every show we do. That's not what the episode, that's not what we're trying to convey. It's more about when a judge says they just can't make that work, it may be from a time standpoint, they don't want to be away from home for that much time. It may be expenses, all those things. Just understand that there's a lot that goes into it. And more times than not, that judge is not making money on that show. And they're dedicating time away from business, family, et cetera, to go do it. So we have to be appreciative. And show families out there, I know it's worth a lot to me when we're able to show to somebody that I really respect and want their opinion. Vote by going to those shows that have judges that you feel are going to give you that fair shot, that maybe aren't personally attached or politically biased for whatever reason. And we know there's a lot of good and bad out there, but you have the choice to attend or not to attend. It's very simple.
Yes, yes.
Are you ready? It's time for our question and answer sponsor. You've heard me talk about the original Phantom Halter, Be Gone adhesive remover, and BW Final Drive that assist with county fair premium auctions. These products and services are brought to you by the Hunker Show family. This family is deeply rooted in the stock show industry. They get it. They live it. We appreciate their support of this podcast and the junior livestock industry. Visit phantomhalter.com for more information and use the coupon code BTR for a 10% discount on purchase. Our first question comes from Dawn. I'm a show mom that loves the information provided on your podcast. This gives me a chance to catch up to those that have been playing the show game for a long time. My question is, what are your thoughts on running hard on the jackpot circuit or staying home and gearing up for that state fair? Show a bunch or stay home?
So, me being from Texas, is I probably have a biased answer because when I was a kid, when I was brokering stuff, we showed more weekends than we didn't. Addie doesn't do that as much. And so I've been on both sides of it. And I tell you, there's good and there's bad. I personally still believe, I'm not saying you have to run the weekends every single weekend, but the more times you can get that animal to a different location, a different setup, a different environment, where they have to learn to behave, eat, drink, all these other things, I think that is going to make it better for that animal when you finally get to the state fair. Now, I'm not saying go to, you know, the month before your state fair, go to two shows before that. No. But the more times you can get out when they're earlier and younger and expose them to many, many different barns and many, many different atmospheres, they're going to rest and be more well-adapted when you finally get to that big show, like your state fair that you're asking about. That's my opinion.
I'm with you, and I've got a couple answers to this. And this question I get asked a lot from our clients. We have to think about it as a show family ourselves. I took the wrong approach for different reasons with my kids when they were younger, just starting to show. It took them a lot longer to get comfortable showing because we did not want to show against goats we sold at the local level or jackpot level. We would show at our state fair and national show. And when you have young kids that are only showing at a state fair and two or three national shows, that's getting out four times a year. That's not enough to create a great showman. It just doesn't work. So my advice, if you have younger kids, I would go to every show you can physically get to because there's nothing that's going to prepare them better and make them better than getting them in the ring, period. We can try to simulate it at home. We're just not going to do it as well. And I agree totally with Ryan. There's no replacement for that animal getting out to the shows. And again, we can try to do what we can at home. We can take them to a different farm. We can do different things and it helps, but there's no way to replace that. I also get, if you've got a calf and he goes in the cooler about now, if you're in the Midwest, you just can't break him out of that cooler to go to a jackpot show. So that becomes difficult. If you plan on keeping that hare through state fair, your hands are tied a little bit. So there's a lot of factors, Don, that go into it. Young kids, you've got to go out as much as you can. You may not have that animal looking as good at State Fair, but that experience your showman is going to get is invaluable. You can't not do that if you want them to become great. So good question. Thank you, Ryan. And on that, that one kind of got me a little bit. That's good. Gene, I'm making an effort to convince our county to hire one national level judge for all four species. If we combine budgets from each species, we have about $3,000 to spend all in. And it would require 2 days of judging. Is this realistic? I did well pulling this question for the episode, didn't I?
You did.
I dug deep for that one.
Yeah.
So $3,000 for 2 days of judging. They're gone 4 days. Agreed?
I could make that work probably unless it's just somewhere so remote that it's, you know, we didn't bring this in on the thing on earlier, and I'm glad that you pulled this question. One thing that people don't realize, whatever, if you can fly from Houston to or a one nonstop thing, flights are a lot cheaper. When you go get onto the second stop, it gets considerably more expensive. So unless it's a real remote location, I think that you can probably make, or I could make, I've done way worse. Okay. But I would feel comfortable probably making that work if it's just 2 days.
Yeah. If you're remote and
when I first heard the question and you said all four spots, I was like, that's going to be 6 days. Cause normally county fairs have goat show 1 day, lamb show 1 day, cattle show 1 day, you know, hog show. And
so if that's 4 days, 5 days, it doesn't work.
Right. But if it is just 2 days of judging,
then and you're flying to the show,
flying there and I'm flying home. So close. It's 4 days, but I think it's probably right there on the edge. Yeah.
So Gene, if you have somebody that's 3, 4, 5 hours away and can drive, works
absolutely
easy. Yeah, no, you're actually, they're going to be happy to do it for that amount. So it's interesting, and depending on where you're at, those flight costs vary. Rental car costs, I can get rental cars as cheap as $28 a day, as high as $180 a day. It's crazy. Depends on the city and what's going on in that town at that time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of variables that come into play. And Ryan, for our listeners, and you probably rent as many cars as anybody. I've noticed recently, the last two times I've rented cars, I've had an issue with the rental. I was in Florida with Dylan in Tampa, and the air conditioner didn't work. And everything else was fine about the car, but it was hot and the air conditioner. When I get back, I said, they're very, it seems right now, rental car businesses, when I'm at the rental car counter checking out, if I have to go to the counter, they're not the most pleasant, like usual, trying to sell you everything in the world. And we always deny or say, no, I'll fill it up. No insurance. I'm covered. All those things. But when you return the car, the people that have been checking me in as return, they're being very user friendly. Like they want your business. Like somebody's telling them, hey, right. We've got to fight for your business. I mentioned that air conditioner wasn't working well. I brought the car back, Ryan, on like a quarter of a tank of fuel because I forgot to fill it up that time. And he says, well, what can we do for you? And I said, well, you could fill the tank up or not charge me. Absolutely. No problem. I didn't pay very much for that rental car. It's going to cost them more to fill the tank up than what I paid for the rental car, but they were wanting to keep me happy. Another one, smelled terrible of something mildewy.
Just so bad. Many of them smell like weed these days.
Yeah. Weed. This oh one was, I think this one was Florida as well. And I just mentioned that. I think they took like $50-$100 off. So for those of you out there, if you have an issue with your rental car, I go in and tell them everything was great except for whatever that problem might be. And they start pulling money off quick. Jamie, I'm a new mom at the goat showing game with a cattle background. In other words, they've showed cattle, it looks like, just started showing goats. Can I work the hair on our does as I would a steer or heifer? Ryan, you can handle this. You were showing goats way before I ever thought about showing a goat.
I showed a goat. Okay. Singular. One. But question is, whatever, working hair. I think it's pretty much universal.
It is. I think that the more you work that hair and train it, the better. What I have found though, Ryan, is some of my best families, the first time they got hairdos, they were working that hair every day, literally washing that hair, kind of like we would sometimes on a calf. And it seems like the goat hair and skin dries out much quicker.
Oh no, I thought she was talking about how to like
work. Yes, no, hair. Work. Yeah, we're going.
I think that's similar. No, you don't. You do not wash goats nearly as much as you wash cows.
And people think I don't want to say we want less time in the barn, but if you want to blow those goats out, maybe condition that hair once in a while. But I would not shampoo that body until you're ready to go.
Do not wash the goats as much as you
want. It seems like leg hair we can condition and work that every day. And I assume we could probably do the body as well. But be careful. And people say, well, if I'm just rinsing them, that's not good. No, it seems to dry them out. Just water. I know it sounds odd, but it does have an impact. So be careful. Sometimes the more we work, the worse that is. Some of the best hair we've ever had on a goat, Ryan, is we wean those goats, put them in the barn for a few weeks and clip them, and the hair is perfect. Guess what? We didn't do anything. We washed them one time and it worked. So I'm not trying to encourage less is better, but there is a little bit to that. Well, with that said, Ryan, thank you for covering current events while I'm gone or Chase and I are having our adventure.
I hope you don't get eaten by a rhino.
Until next week, be safe.
Y'all come back now. You hear?